Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. And it is the last one of the season for myself and the head coach, Gus Bradley, who joined us right now. Good evening, Gus.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Catching your breath a little bit after the season, or is the heart rate staying a little bit high with the search for an offensive coordinator?
Well, it's a little high. I had a quick tie in my shoe. That might be why I look a little frazzled. But it's been a good process. I mean, since the end of the season till now, I mean, we've been going strong with these candidates. And what an experience, a really good experience for us.
How difficult is it? I mean, if you look around the league, I mean, just the head coach openings, and some of them are obviously filled, but, you know, Buffalo, Chicago, Oakland, Denver, the Jets, Atlanta, San Francisco. How challenging does it make the process to find an offensive coordinator when there are so many openings and uncertainty still to be determined as head coaches in the National Football League?
Well, there's some obstacles in this, and I think it's just making sure that you get the right fit, and you know what you want, you know what you're looking for, and it's got to be a culture fit. And these teams, what I've learned through this whole thing is that you just have to be patient. You know, when you talk to some of these coaches,
that's hard to do.
It is. And every one of them, I know a couple of head coaches that I've talked to, they have a couple staff changes and they went on a 4-day vacation, you know, and they're like, because that's what you have to do. There's just so many things that play out in the NFL, and so many different changes and curveballs that are thrown that you know it's not about, okay, quick, get the guy, sign him up, okay, we're good. Because there's other options that may appear. Who would have thought that would have happened with Denver? It was a classic example.
Well, I mean, nobody expected John Fox to get let go. I mean, maybe somebody that was on the inside, but, I mean, I think most people are like, wow.
Right. it is, you know, and then all of a sudden some of the coaches, you know, have the opportunity to be interviewed, and, you know, so there's a whole new set of people that came into the mix. So sometimes it's tough, though, because you feel like, okay, there is a lot of teams, there is a lot of people going after these, and the natural reaction is to go, we got to go fast. But it's actually the opposite. You want to take your time and make sure it's about getting the right guy.
Well, when you talk about getting the right guy, you use a word. And that word is culture. Describe to people what culture is to you, and in this process, how it relates to the offensive coordinator.
Well, I think it's so important. Many, coaches around the league or organizations around the league, they talk about their culture. And really what they're talking about is, what's the environment? What's the environment that the coach is coming into? What is the environment that the player is coming into? Does that player or that coach feel like they're coming into an environment where they can improve? Professionally, can they get better as a coach, as a person? What's the working environment like? How does the head coach interact with them? What's the head coach expectations of them? And how do you operate day to day? But the biggest thing is, okay, you say this is who you are, but do you do it consistently? So sometimes coaches will say, okay, this has been good. I understand what your culture is like. Now I got to go make some phone calls and compare and say, hey, you were there, or there's a player that was there. Is that, you know, how it is? And because you want to make sure, it still comes down to, you want to be in a good working environment where you can enjoy the whole process.
So you're talking not only about your culture and making sure the person fits in your culture, but, you know, as an offensive coordinator coming in, and you're a defensive-minded head coach, I mean, that's your background.
Sure.
Obviously, it's very important for them to bring a culture that matches your culture.
Sure.
Because they're running, I don't want to say half the football team, because special teams is certainly a part of the football, but they're running a significant portion of the team.
Right. You lay out a vision. You lay out a vision, say, here's how we see it. Here's the style of play for our defense. Here's the style of play for our offense and special teams. And this is what we're looking to get accomplished. And now tell us about you, and how do you see this vision, and show us how you've accomplished this. And, you watch film, you ask questions, and sometimes we had one the other day that we started at 8 in the morning, got done at 11 at night. And sometimes that's to see if they respond the same way at 9:30 at night that they do at 9:30 in the morning.
Right,
think, you
right.
know?
Consistency.
And, yeah, you're looking for it because you got a short period of time with them. But it's been good. It's been really good.
So how many guys have you talked to in the morning that all of a sudden at 10 o'clock at night things have changed a little bit?
Well, you know, coaches are pretty high strung. So, you know, I think we might have to go longer to try to get that effect. But you know what? I will say this, though, Logs. I say this with all honesty. The perception of Jacksonville and the organization is very good. I mean, the number of candidates, the number of, you know, you talk to people and say, hey, we have an, oh, yeah, I've heard. Or you get other coaches call and say, hey, this guy's really interested now. He hears some good things going on. So, the, you know, that part's, I think, been cool for Dave and I to see as well.
Well, and there's a lot of names that have been thrown out there. And I'm not going to get into names with you because, obviously, this process is still ongoing.
Sure.
But there's a lot of names that maybe haven't gotten out there, and I don't want to know who they are. But, you know, the availability is key. I always thought, and you just corrected me a little bit ago, that if there was an assistant coach somewhere in the National Football League that had an opportunity to advance his career and, let's say, go from a running backs coach or a quarterbacks coach, a positional coaching position, to get an advancement with another team as a OC, offensive coordinator, that it was kind of an unwritten rule that most teams or coaches should allow that. But that's not the case?
No, it isn't. It's, you know, sometimes it's an organizational philosophy. Sometimes it's a head coach philosophy. It all stems. You know, fortunately, you know, for example, I was at Tampa Bay and to interview at the Seattle Seahawks for the defensive coordinator's job. It was my choice to let my contract run out because if I didn't let it run out as a linebacker coach, Tampa Bay could block me from interviewing for a defensive coordinator's job. So as a coach, sometimes you take a risk. You say, well, I'm going to let my contract run out. And so it gives me the opportunity. If your organization that you're working for does have that tendency to block and not let you out. So, you know, coaches have to make the decision. But once you sign the contract, it's really up to the coach. Hey, I signed the contract. Oh, you know, I really wanted to go out and go look at this. Well, you signed the contract. You wanted that extra year of security. So, you know, I think that most coaches have the mindset that, hey, I signed it. If I didn't want to have that, then I shouldn't have signed it.
No, so what you're saying is a belief that I've always had. Free agency is always a good thing, whether it's players or whether it's coaches. I mean, because to me, it's always like, and I'm not trying to say that, okay, you have a certain value of yourself, but, you know, you always want to find out who's interested. You know, what is your value? Not for you to satisfy your own personal need or to be selfish, but to at least find out what's out there. And as a coach, I mean, why not let a contract run out? Because if you're good, they're going to want you back.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's, what's the best way to say this? If you're happy and you enjoy where you're working and the environment that you're working, then you usually say, you know what, I'm not going to let my contract run out, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so I think that's why the culture comes back into it, too. We've had coaches now in the past that have been asked to, you know, go somewhere or take a look. And we have maybe a little bit more flexibility, but the coaches have declined it themselves. You know, I appreciate it. You want me to come up there and look, but I'm happy where I'm at. That's what you ideally would like to create.
Sure.
You create such a great working environment that the coaches don't want to leave. But, you know, it's always, you know, when a coach gets that opportunity to be a coordinator. And sometimes, you know, it's like this, Logs, I got another year in my contract. Hey, three teams requested the opportunity to talk to me as a coordinator. The organization blocked it. Okay, well, next year I'm going to let my contract run out, and then let's see what happens next year.
Mm-hmm. And with that, that's a culture, that's a philosophy that an organization has. Sometimes that philosophy comes from the head coach of an organization. Sometimes that philosophy comes from the organization as a whole, whether
sure.
it be the owner, general manager, et cetera. What would you do in that instance? If somebody called up and let's say, okay, they wanted to talk to D-Wall. Dwayne Walker, your defensive backs coach, and wanted to hire him. See,
no,
I mean, because you know, it's from a different perspective, you know. And that if somebody wanted to have Dwayne Walker as a defensive coordinator, how would you answer that call?
Well, you know what? I think you treat it based on situation. That's what I've told our coaches. Most of the time, they come and talk to me. They say, hey, Gus, I've got an opportunity. What's your thoughts? And, you know, we had it last year, right, with Mark Duffner. You know, he had a chance to go to Miami, and Duff was a great coach for us. I mean, we all loved him, and he did a great job here.
And his wife makes really good cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it was. I mean, this was a coach that had a deep, deep friendship with Joe Philbin. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has gone on for 30 years, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And, you know, I think that you take a look at where you're at and stuff, and we granted that. Now, every situation's different. You know, and you first of all, you got to protect your organization. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we look at it. We deal as a case-to-case basis.
Yeah, because I know that when you came from Seattle and you brought Todd Walsh with you here to Jacksonville, I mean, obviously, you and Todd go way back.
Sure.
You know, so you had an organization, Pete Carroll, that allowed you to take a very trusted confidant with you in Todd Walsh.
Yeah, it's... you know, and sometimes it's challenges. Well, we don't know if we let them out, and then, you know, you keep working it. And I think that's why I think last year with the Mark Duffner situation is because, you know, I said, well, Pete afforded me the opportunity by letting Todd to come with. You know, I'm going to do the same. And
so now that you're even, are you done with that?
Yeah, I'm done. Not see, Lugs, it's not hard to figure out. You now understand our culture.
It's a matter of keeping score.
Yeah.
Any idea of, and I know you said the most important thing here is patience with finding the right culture fit and the right mind. How much of this determination do you also look at X's and O's?
Well, that's a big part of it.
I mean, it's obviously it's a big part of it. But, I mean, when you talk about how culture, what you want to do, your identity on offense and your identity on defense, how much would you say want to waver in that philosophy to get a guy that you believe brings strong leadership that may be above and beyond the exact fit X's and O's that you envision?
Well, I think one of the greatest qualities, a great quality that a coordinator has to have is flexibility. You have to be versatile, adaptable, and flexible. And you have to because of the personnel that we have. And if you're, you know, hey, this is what I do on offense and that's all I do and I'm not changing, well, you might not have the personnel to do that. And so, and generally, most good offensive coordinators have that flexibility. They have that adaptability. And I think that's what I'm looking for right now is to say, hey, you know, what systems have you coached in? So, you know, you're looking for guys that have some experience.
And any time frame? I mean, and I know you said the most important thing is patience through all this, but is there a certain time you're like, okay, in the back of your mind, maybe you don't have it written down on a piece of paper, but in the back of your mind, you're saying, hey, look, we really want to get this wrapped up by this date just because going forward we want to go ahead and do
well,
this?
Well, I think, you know, we want to be patient, but we're also dealing with coaches on our staff. And, you know, I think, that's the most important people now is this, our staff. And they're great through this. They have great trust. And I'm trying to be very transparent so they understand it. But, you know, the unknown is always the worst. And so, you know, I respect that part of it. So we'd like to interview all these candidates and try to make a decision that's best for our organization. And I think, you know, when we can do that, it leaves some anxiety from our staff. At least they know what's going on. Because I don't want to take away any opportunities from our staff as well.
Right. All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll talk more about the offensive coordinator search, but also the Senior Bowl coming up next week for you guys, and we'll talk about that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And this segment of the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. And talking about the offensive coordinator search, Gus, how many interviews? I don't want to know names. How many interviews have you done? I mean, obviously not all of them are in person, but phone conversations. I mean, is there a ballpark?
Phone conversations and... Oh, boy. I mean, just face-to-face interviews, one, two, you know, probably, I don't know, five or six.
So, yeah. And through this process, you had made mention earlier about how you've talked to other coaches around the league. And you know, information is power. And to get as much information from as many places that you can get. Have you called and talked to some people that have maybe been through this process before, or to call up certain coaches that you trust and say, hey, look, you know, this is what I'm thinking, and run ideas by them?
Sure. Yeah, I do that.
Because experience is, obviously, experience is critical. And to try to gain experience through other people's experience sometimes helps.
Right. I think that you learn that you've got certain guys. I mean, I'm pretty trustworthy, but I think there's guys that you talk to and you say, hey, I've got a question for you. Here's a situation I'm dealing with. And this has happened to me multiple times. And I explain it, and they say, well, we've been through that, and here's what's going on. And they go, hang on, Gus. We got a question for you. Here's what we're dealing with. You know, mm-hmm. You say, yeah. So, it's give and take. But, yeah, the phone conversations that you have with other coaches, they generally aren't 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some that are 45 minutes, an hour, and extended conversations.
Have you talked to? I know you've had the opportunity over the last couple of years, and many years, to talk to different people that are involved in sport and coaching, but not necessarily football. Have you talked to anybody outside of football to bounce ideas off of about this process?
Well, it's so unique. It really is. I mean, not many places where it's blocked. you're blocked, and how do you adjust? And sometimes it's projection. You know, this guy's been a quarterback coach for a year, and you're looking at him as an offensive coordinator. He hasn't been a play caller. Is that a candidate? Well, he might be really good. He just needs an opportunity. Or, this guy's been a play caller for the last 6 years, but the offense isn't highly ranked. But, they haven't had a quarterback. But when you watch it on tape, you see the scheme and what they're trying to accomplish, and you really like it, and it's attacking. And that's for me as a defensive coach. I look and I say, those principles are good now, and they're consistent, and I see the same thing show up over and over again. There's a method to this, and there's a flow to this. So you learn that part of it too.
And when I say, but I'm talking about outside of football. Have you talked to a guy that might be a basketball coach or whatever? Because, one of the components and I was talking earlier in the week with a guy about this coordinator search, and he was saying, what would you put the most value on it? And I said, one of the most important things is probably the ability to lead men. How important is that?
Wow. Now, that's really good conversation because, I think so many times a guy thinks he's ready to be a coordinator. He's been a running backs coach or a quarterbacks coach for 2 years. And he goes, I'm ready to make the play calls. I see how it's done, and I can make this call, and I can do this. I know red zone. I can do all the situations. But you're saying, that's great. How are you going to handle 8 strong personalities in a room? Maybe 3 of the guys have been former coordinators, and you're trying to gather information from them, make them feel a part of it, and learn to build trust with that. Because if you don't have trust and you don't have cooperation, you can't get better. I believe it's really hard. And so when you're the coordinator, you have to build trust not only with the team but with your staff. And they've got to be able to feel like they trust you, because otherwise the team's not going to get better. So how do you do that? How are you going to go about building trust with your staff? Tell me. And they go, no. I just I'm excited about making the calls. Well, yeah.
So much more than that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to that. And so the leadership and to protect that environment in there, because you spend a lot of hours together, that working relationship is really, really important.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes it's not necessarily the play call. It's the belief in those 11 guys or 23 guys that are on the offensive side of the football, whatever it may be on game day, that what's called is going to work, and that they believe it's going to work because of this belief and understanding through the man in front of the room that's told them it's going to work.
Right. It's like, the defense is 3rd and 8, and, Bob Babich makes this defensive call. And they go, we know why Bob's making this call, and we trust Bob Babich in making this call, and now let's go make it work, all that part of it. A backed-up situation, we're bringing pressure. We understand Bob's trying to get a big play here, or, the offensive play call is trying to do here. We're trying to take a shot right here. Okay, we understand what he's trying to get accomplished, and that's part of the trust process.
Instead of the old break the huddle and go, everybody's kind of looking at each other going, what in the world did he call that for?
Yeah, that's a problem there.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and we'll talk a little Senior Bowl right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Are you ready to talk fishing? I mean.
No.
Not ready yet?
Senior Bowl.
I know you're ready to talk fishing, though, because that means that this process of search for the offensive coordinator and the Senior Bowl and the free agency, the hay would be in the barn and all of that. I'm sure you're anxious for that. But the Senior Bowl. Next week in Mobile, right? You're coaching the South squad. The North squad is being coached by who?
Tennessee.
And last year you guys were able to find numerous guys. Aaron Colvin, Telvin Smith come to mind. Brandon Linder was also at the Senior Bowl. Am I missing any other guys? I mean, those are three draft picks that you had. And maybe I missed some. Chris Smith. Yeah, Chris Smith, Arkansas, seventh-round pick. I got that right. Seventh-round pick, right? Okay, I want to make sure I got that right. How valuable is it to coach the Senior Bowl versus taking a break maybe?
Well, you know, we'd be down there as coaching. Not all the coaches, but I would be down there. And I always felt like, you know, as a coach, and I would think this would be around the league, instead of sitting in the stands watching it, you'd rather be coaching it. And, you know, it's just the preparation it takes and the time it takes to go down there and time. But it's invaluable now. And I come back to it where it's 3-4 years from now, you know, in free agency too, the guys that you don't get. You just leave a good impression on these guys. They know what you're all about. I just talked to one of our players here. He can remember, hey, one of the coaches you're looking at, I remember he coached us in, you know, a Senior Bowl or, you know, or something like that. You know, those things come up. So, you know, it leaves an impression on these guys.
And with this Senior Bowl, and you don't have an offensive coordinator in name to actually call the plays at the Senior Bowl, Frank Selfo, will he be the play caller?
No, Frank will do a great job. You know, he's had a history of being a coordinator. And so, he'll take over. He's done a great job with the staff, putting together the game plan.
Well,
and
wait
the
a minute. Wait a minute. Is there actually a game plan at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, there's about three coverages you can play. And, you know, but it is. I think, you know, to put it all together and how we want to set up the practices so that we get a chance, we can set up the drills that we want to see. You know, for us, and it's, you know, hey, we have certain techniques that we're looking for in certain positions, so we can set up our drills to kind of see those techniques. So that's what's so valuable about it.
Can you play your defense at the Senior Bowl? When you always talk about scheme fit, can you play your defense to put guys in places of your defense to see if it works?
Yeah, there's some generic defenses. I think you have a chance to do that. Some of the defenses that we play, we have played, we have in our package. So that part of it works good. We can teach our pass drop principles. We can, you know, teach some of our special team principles. So, you know, that's good.
And with that three coverages that you say that you can play, what are the restrictions at the Senior Bowl, and how many times have you cheated?
Well, the second question,
Whole liar.
No.
Everybody
cheats
at the
Senior Bowl. To be honest with you, I need to look at all the rules. I know our staff went through all the rules. I was in some interviews.
You're a little busy.
Yeah, but I do know this. I believe they changed the rule this year in that at the end of the quarter, I believe it's like the end of the half. So if there's 12 seconds left in the first quarter, I think you have a decision to make because I think there's a kickoff then, you know, and it starts off. So it puts you into a two-minute situation at the end of every quarter.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're trying to open it up and they want to see guys. So, you know, I think they want it more wide open than maybe what it was in the previous.
Well, I mean, as far as evaluating the passing game, a two-minute offense, two-minute defense, I mean, but that's a great thing.
Sure.
Because, you know, I mean, how many quarterbacks are typically at the Senior Bowl? For you guys last year, how many quarterbacks did you have?
I think there's three. Every once in a while, you might see a late addition to make it four.
Okay, so if you had four quarterbacks, then you've only got really two-minute drills. Sometimes you don't even get the opportunity to run one. I mean, here's an opportunity to get an evaluation of that quarterback and that offensive line and wide receivers in multiple 2 minutes. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's, again, it's an evaluation tool. And, you know, for us as a coaching staff, you know, we take the responsibility of saying, let's give them an idea what a game week, or, you know, preparation schedule is like. So it just happens to be it's exactly like a game week, and we go in there, incorporate it. This is what you're going to be dealing with next year. You know, here's a Wednesday practice, here's a Thursday practice, here's a Friday's practice, Saturday, and there you have it. You just went through what a game week is like during the regular season.
Do you guys, a lot of people would ask, do you guys get paid? I mean, do the coaching staff, your coaches that go and coach at the Senior Bowl, does the league or the Senior Bowl pay you guys?
Yeah, I think they do. It's it really costs the organization, you know, because you're responsible to take everything down there. And I don't know exactly what the NFL covers, but I know there's an expense in it.
Okay, so, but at least your guys maybe get a little check. So when they get home, they can take the wife to dinner.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be
there
a good thing. All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, talk a little free agency, and then also one of the greatest Jaguars in history. Signed today and retired today as a Jaguar. We'll get some thoughts from the head coach right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
You can join John Osher and JP Shadrick on Jaguars.com live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. They'll have special guests, keep you informed with the latest Jaguar news, and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. And then also, just to let everybody know, we were talking the Senior Bowl there all week long. Next week, you can tune in to Jaguars.com. Patrick Kavanaugh, Dave DeCandis, Brian Sexton, John Osher will all have video news and information from the Senior Bowl, and they will be hard at work, just like you guys, Gus, and your staff. Today, the Jaguars signed and then he retired. Greg Jones, he was a second-round pick back in 04 out of Florida State, 131 games played, 10 years. Not a great rusher, I mean, because he was a fullback, only just short of 1,000 yards rushing. But Greg Jones, I remember watching him, Gus, and one of the great fullbacks, I think, certainly in the 2000s, Lorenzo Neal, Greg Jones. I mean, those are a couple of the names that kind of pop up. Sam Gash, guys that pop up and say true fullbacks, guys that really led a guy up in the hole. But then Greg, I thought, was pretty good in that he had the ability to get out of the backfield, catch the ball, but then also every now and again, early in his career, he subbed as a tailback. But what are your thoughts and memories of Greg Jones?
Wow, I mean, a couple things come to my mind. First of all, as a player, I remember I was just telling you a story when we were in Tampa. I think it was a 4-minute situation, you know, a minute left to go in the game. Jacksonville, critical third down. Tampa's on defense. He came on the backfield, got a check down. I'm not going to say what linebacker. He juked the linebacker.
Your linebacker.
Yeah, and got a first down, and Jacksonville won the game. And I remember that saying, that's a fullback, you know, that made a miss like that. And then, you know, we call it the bend play, where you start one way and you come all the way back. I mean, the athleticism. I mean, you know, those things I think pop up all the time when I think of him. But, you know, what I know about him now, was that he was the ultimate teammate.
Ultimate pro.
Ultimate teammate. Ran the locker room, one of the most respected, if not the respected guy in the locker room. And I know when I got this job, I think it was already decided that he was going to go to Houston or was close to it. But I was really excited to meet him. You know, I was like, I get a chance to meet this guy face to face, all those games that you see and what he stood for. But then to hear that the type of person he was on top of it was to the ultimate level. What a pleasure, man, to have him a part of this, and what a great recognition for him.
I thought one of his great strengths was the ability to track in traffic. And when I say track, fullbacks, I mean, a lot of times when they're running through a hole, they have to pick up and track a guy that not necessarily is right in front of them. I mean, it's a guy that they're going to meet where they're going to be at. And all of a sudden, you've got all these colors crossing in front of your face. Greg's ability to track and then to still pick that guy up and to arrive with power and a bad mood was exceptional.
He was. And then, you know, he really could have played running back. You know, he just played fullback because that was best for the team. And, you know, I think you know, sometimes a fullback is, you know, sees the same thing as a tailback. You know, he goes the open hole and then he goes and makes a block. But, Yeah, I mean, I just think of some of those Fred Taylor runs. They're in my mind right now. The Carolina one where he had a long run, and you know, to see that, you know, he let him up through the hole or did that bend play that we were talking about, and you know, it's just play after play, and you know, just really a credit to him. What a great day!
Great pro, one of the most incredible physiques in the National Football League. I mean, when the guy had his jersey up and his arms were hanging out, you were just like, good Lord, look at the size of the arms that that's guy's
not how,
got.
That's not how a defensive end looks. That's not,
that's
how,
not how I looked, I can tell you that. That's for certain. But he was a lot of fun to watch, and an ultimate pro in the locker room. And he was one of those guys that I've always had great respect for. The guys that don't say a lot, but when they do, you know, it's like the old E.F. Hutton commercial. You know, when he talked, people listen.
That's what I think. I think, you know, sometimes those guys that you don't hear from much, but when they do talk, it's the truth. And I think that's what he was all about. At least that's what and when you talk to players that know of him.
Did you get a chance to talk with him today?
No, I didn't. And I was hoping they would come and get me, you know, out of the interview because I wanted to see him again. But I saw him at a Providence game. Mm-hmm. And I turned around, there he was. You're right, those arms were, you know, he still looks like he can, you know, do it. So, you know, so I've seen him around and stuff. It's always good to see him.
And I remember when the kind of decision was going on, the process, you know, Greg Jones, is he going to go ahead and move on from the Jaguars? And you guys had, at that time, a relatively unproven fullback in Will Tofoe. And everybody was kind of going, oh, you know, Greg Jones is going to leave. And I remember at the time saying, yeah, Greg Jones is a fantastic player, and not to slight Greg in any way, but this young fullback that the Jaguars had at the time, Will Tofoe, I thought in the opportunity and the reps that he had early in his career behind Greg Jones, he was one heck of a fullback. And I know that I enjoy watching Tofoe play the game now. He reminds me a lot of the abilities that Greg had.
Well, the fullback is almost a lost art. You know, some teams, you know, even in talking to coordinators, they're talking about, well, it depends on if we have a fullback. If we don't have a fullback, what we're going to do. And you're right. I mean, some teams don't have a fullback on their team. So, and in colleges nowadays, with all the gun read, you don't see the fullback. And it's kind of a lost art, you know, or it's hard to find a fullback of that caliber.
Well, Greg today in his press conference said that he wants to be a coach and a pro coach. So, you know, just throwing his name out there, Gus. You
know, yeah, I know.
I'm trying to be his agent.
I mean, just think, you know, think what he could bring to a coaching staff, though. I mean, you know, it's something that if you don't play the game, you know, I can stand up there and talk to these players all I want, but I never played at this level. So it's important to have guys in your staff that have played on that level so they can, you know, they can relate to the players as far as that experience.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk how the walking wounded, I guess, are doing. Some of the guys that had off-season surgery, see if you've got an update on that, Gus. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
In the off seasons, typically for NFL players, Gus, many times almost like taking your automobile to the shop, whether it be to get new paint, to get the oil changed, and sometimes maybe have a rod or a piston fixed up. It's kind of what I guess my viewpoint on that is because, you know, 10 years had, you know, 9 surgical procedures, and some guys have to have at the end of the season surgical procedures to get their vehicle up and running again. Cindric Marks obviously being at the top of the list. A lot of people want to know how the surgery went. I believe he had surgery yesterday. Any news to report on how it went?
My understanding is it went good. You know, he's recovering, and he hopes to be ready by week one. But, you know, I think that's something that we're going to be really smart with and make sure. He has a great attitude now, great attitude with his rehab. It kind of works out good. Him and Roy are in there together, you know, and they can challenge one another when that time comes. But, it went really well.
And speaking of Roy, Roy also was scheduled to have a much minor procedure on his knee compared to what Cindric had, which was ACL reconstruction. Did Roy have his surgery also?
Yeah, he had his surgery last week, and that went very well as well.
Okay, and then the other one that pops into my mind, I know Josh Evans was dealing with a shoulder kind of throughout the season.
Yep.
That was giving him problems.
That was good that we had that fixed, you know.
Yeah, because otherwise it would continue to be a problem.
Yeah, I think, last year he had a little bit of difficulty, but he strengthened it and rehabbed it. But now this offseason we had it repaired, and looking at it, it was good. I mean, but, just hearing how it went excellent. But, he's tough now. They're all, all the players are tough. But just what he went through, similar like Roy, last year.
Yeah, last year we kind of fought through it. I remember multiple games where you see Josh would come off the field, the arm kind of hanging down low, and then he would take a few plays to kind of gather himself, and then right back in there.
Right, yeah. So I think, now he just strengthens it up, and it's, good and solid, and he should be ready to go.
He'll be doing a lot of those internal and external rotations, which I still do to this day. Free agency.
Don't forget about Allen Robinson.
A-Rob? Well, A-Rob great. Already had it. He was doing great.
Yeah. Puz.
Well, Puz is, yeah. I'm talking about the guys that had it once the season was over.
No, I know. You know what? It's funny. I walked by there and looked in there, and I saw Puz. He was talking to somebody, and then two guys were still talking, and Puz went over and got some push-ups in. And, that guy's incredible, man. What a machine he is.
You obviously played. By the way, congratulations, North Dakota State. I watched the game.
I know.
What a game.
Yeah, how about that? I always – I see it, Joe. Come on, man. I always tell the players, I said – they go, Gus, what is it, the Bison? I said, oh, yeah, we face the storm, man. A Bison always faces the storm. And what was it?
Down by four.
Yeah, they scored with a minute left to go. Yeah. But it was
back and forth. You didn't watch it?
Yeah, I saw some of it. The players were texting me, Gus, they're going down. I said, no. We're going to face the storm and to score right at the end.
What was it they were playing? Was it Northern Illinois State?
Illinois State. Northern Illinois State.
I couldn't remember. I was through the Northern on there because I was just thinking those small schools. I had to have a Northern.
Isn't that a small school? Come on, man. One double A I will say. Not Virginia, huh?
Well, I mean, Virginia hasn't played a meaningful football game in quite some time. But watching football over the weekend, that was one of the most entertaining football games. And I'm putting it right up there with the National Football League. And because for some reason, I was at home and I was like, all right, I turned the TV on, and it happened to be on ESPN from watching SportsCenter the night before or whatever. And so all of a sudden, I turned the TV on, and there's a football game. And I wasn't even aware that North Dakota State was playing Illinois State in a title game. I knew that they were playing well, kind of in the playoffs, but I didn't know when the last game was being.
Right.
And so I hit information. And I was like, hey, yeah. And so I watched it, and I'm going to tell you now, the last quarter was about as entertaining of a football game at any level that I have ever seen.
No, they're exciting. I mean, here's a school. What they went? They were Division II, won some national championships then. Then they make the move to go to Division I. They have a 5-year period where they can't go to the playoffs, and then bam, four straight national champions. So really a credit to the university, what they're all about, and Fargo, it's going crazy up there. I guarantee you, man. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Fargo's having a party for North Dakota State. Can we get some music? Can we get the North Dakota State music again on the way out here?
Let's hail the Bison right there.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of free agency right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And as we roll along here on the Gus Bradley Show, let's jump into a little bit of free agency. And I'm sure that Dave is going to be the spearhead of that. A lot of your energies and efforts have gone into the offensive coordinator position. But at what point will you kind of jump into that with Dave, Gus?
Well, we'll get into that after the Senior Bowl. I think that the coaches have lists of the available free agents, and they'll do tapes on them. And we'll look at them as a whole staff and with our scouting department and Dave. and you know, evaluate our needs. But some of that, you know, hopefully we have the whole coaching staff in place at that time.
It's amazing too with that free agency. I mean, you know, there's always a list of, okay, here's guys that, you know, your contracts are expiring, but who actually gets to March 10th as a free agent is totally different than the list you're actually preparing for now.
Right, because, you know, teams will try to take care of their guys, sign their guys. Each team has a philosophy. You know, sit down, the GM and the coaches and scouting will all go through it and find out what's the best. And, you know, that's Dave's decision. And, you know, but we have a plan. This is something that I think as you go through the season, your evaluation of players and games, and, you know, you see other teams, and you kind of build a list.
Well, and Dave obviously takes a lot of your input into that free agent process. And to kind of go back to the offensive coordinator thing, how much has Dave been, I guess, a sounding board for you in this whole process with the offensive coordinator?
Sure, well, a lot. We've always, though, I think Dave and I have that relationship as far as being transparent. And, you know, he might not say, well, you know, how they attack the C-gap, you know, in an over defense, you know, how's an offense, you know, it's not like that. But it's more the type of people, bringing in the culture. You know, I'll just sometimes, you know, what he does do is he's a great listener, Dave is. And so sometimes I'll just bounce some ideas off him and talk, and, you know, he'll listen and give me some input. So, you know, we have that open dialogue, you know, very, very often.
Well, and the other thing I would have to think that Dave also can provide you is that, much like you have had relationships throughout your time in the National Football League, and you've got guys that you trust and guys that you can call and maybe get information on a guy that you're talking to, that Dave has relationships with personnel guys around the league and guys that he's been in close contact with, that he can say, hey, Gus, hey, speaking of, you know, a potential offensive coordinator A, you know, hey, I can make a few phone calls because, you know, so-and-so spent time with this guy here.
Yeah, he does, and he does that for me. And, you know, give him a list of guys and have him make some phone calls. Listen, you know, whether it's a coach, a player, you know, a scout, I mean, we're doing everything we can to turn over every stone to find out as much as we can about these individuals and, you know, their philosophies and how they are as people. And you know, and once again, it doesn't matter what level. I mean, college, you know, NFL, longtime coordinator, been a coordinator for a year, maybe a position coach. Just look at all the options. And really, I mean, every team's different. What one team might look for in offense coordinator might be different for us. You know, we have a young team on offense. We have a young, you know, a group. So who works with that young group and who's flexible and can work with that might be different than what another team's looking for.
Well, I you know, with trying to gather information about, you know, all these candidates that you're talking to, and Dave being a value, I mean, heck, I know a lot of times when you deal with NFL teams, one guy is on the staff that probably it would be as good of a judge of character with players and coaches, maybe just as good as anybody, the equipment guys. I mean, the video guys. I mean, because of their daily contact.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be real in that, you know, as many people as you can get input on from some of these candidates, I mean, it all has value.
Well, I think it is a good point. You know, one of our, like I think people have heard, my personal philosophy or our personal philosophy is to possess a genuine appreciation and you know, for the contribution commitment everyone makes, for together we shall get done. Well, what better guys to talk to is the equipment guys or the trainers to say, does this guy have a genuine appreciation? Mm-hmm. You know, does he appreciate people? Or, you know, will he help everybody get better? Or is it just he selects a few to help get better? You know, so all those things are part of our culture. But you're right now, Logs, to talk to equipment guys, trainers, you know, how's this guy operate? So helpful. So
right.
Helpful.
We come back. I want to get your thoughts on the conference title games. A couple big games coming up this weekend, and we'll do that with the head coach right after this on Jaguars Radio. Last segment of the Gus Bradley Show. And Gus, this past weekend, great NFL football games for those that had the time to actually watch the games. Did you end up finding a little bit of time to relax and watch a football game?
Yeah, I think the Sunday game, you know, I got a chance to watch some of those games. It was some great games.
Great games. This weekend coming up, Indianapolis is at New England. And then Aaron Rodgers and his torn calf muscle are going to be at your old team out there in Seattle. And I know you haven't seen all of these teams this year, but your thoughts on the Indy-New England game? You got a young Andrew Luck going against a guy who has been unbelievable in Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, that would be a great matchup. You know, I know the Indianapolis, I think this is a big game for them as far as stepping up, you know, to playing in Indy, you know, and I think it's going to come down to defensively, you know, how well they play defensively.
All right, we don't need to talk about the Seattle game. I know who you think is going to win the Seattle game. All right, Gus, enjoyed it all year long, and we'll talk to everybody next year on the Gus Bradley Show.
Okay, thank you.